This morning we've got rather an unusual sermon. It's one which I hope may help you with your Christmas shopping as you wonder what presents to give to other people. I've got some suggestions for you, and all of them are Christian books. And they're Christian books not only to give to other people as appropriate, but also maybe to suggest to other people if and when they ask you what you would like as a gift. Let's first of all put these suggestions in the context of our Bible readings for this morning. And both our Bible readings mention that we are to serve the Lord with our minds. In the words of Jesus, we're to love God not only with our heart and soul and strength, but also with our mind. And how necessary this is in a post-Christian country where there are so many complex questions and situations before us in our daily lives. And surely if you and I are to live as Christians and to make a contribution to the modern world, then we need to use our brains as an important part of this. We need to learn to think Christianly and to develop Christian minds, which is where Christian books come in. And in the words of the epistle reading, this is a way in which we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And as this happens, we will indeed discover, in the words of Paul, more of God's good and perfect and pleasing will. Now, I've got four books to suggest to you. And at the end of the service, you can take away a little bit of paper like this with all the details and prices set out. Bridget's also got something to say about other book suggestions a little bit later on. But for now, here are my four suggestions. And the first one is this, The Lion Handbook of the Bible, which is truly a bestseller and which has now sold something like 3.5 million copies. Some of you are nodding. I think you already know about this book. Some of you will doubtless have it. But if you don't yet know about this book, then I strongly commend it to you. It's a marvelous introduction to the Bible and a great resource for understanding more and more of what it's all about. I hope you know that the Bible remains the world's best-selling book. But it's not always easy to read. It can be difficult to grasp what it's saying, and all of us need help in one way or another. It is, after all, a collection of 66 books, and it contains several different kinds of literature. There's history, law, prophecy, poetry, wisdom, letters, apocalyptic writing, and so on. And the Lion Handbook is great in the way that it gives basic information about all 66 books, and it helps us to understand what each of them is all about. Alongside this is lots of good articles about the background to the Bible, about key figures in the story, about how it's all been interpreted down the centuries, and how it may be read today. Of course, it's not a book that tries to answer every possible question. No book can possibly do that. But the sales figures show that this has been a book appreciated by millions. So it's a book that you might consider giving to a godchild. Most of you have got godchildren, I expect. Why not give them one of these? It's a book you might like to give to a relative or a friend, or perhaps you could ask someone to make it their present to you. And let me say at this point that all the books that I'm recommending are going to be on display on the table in the coffee area at the end of the service. Let me say they are for display only. Please don't leave the money and take a copy away, but you will, as I say, have information to take away about purchase prices and so on. And all the books that I'm suggesting, they can be obtained much cheaper through the internet and internet sellers. Let's move on to a second suggestion, a second recommendation, which I mentioned to Bridget a few days ago. I said I was going to speak about book recommendations, and this was one of them, and she, like me, enthuses about it. It's a book called God on Mute, written by a man called Peter Gregg, who was at that time the director of prayer at Holy Trinity Church in Brompton, in London. Now, this book, God on Mute, is a book about the problem of unanswered prayer, which is something experienced by countless Christian believers. We ask God for this or that. We pray about it. It's so important to us. The need is urgent. The situation is desperate. And sometimes there seems to be no answer at all. At least no answer in the way that we are praying for so very hard. And the question arises, why isn't God giving us what we want, what we ask for? Jesus has told us that if we ask anything in his name, we will receive it. But sometimes that doesn't seem to be true at all. And sometimes it seems that God isn't even listening, let alone responding to our prayers. Have you had that experience? Maybe it's one that you're going through right now. And it can be very painful, very difficult, and it can go on for years and years. It's something which causes many people to question whether God is really there at all. And sometimes it causes people to lose their faith altogether. I think this is a book that takes a bit of time to get going, but it's one that faces up honestly to the problem of unanswered prayers. It's a courageous book because Peter Gregg's wife has big health problems that have not been taken away in spite of thousands of prayers by thousands of people asking God to heal her. So Peter Gregg and his wife know about unanswered prayer in their own lives. And in one of the best chapters of the book, Peter Gregg cites out quite a number of possible reasons why God may not answer our prayers in the way that we hope. It's a book that I've read through completely at least twice. It's a book that I pick up from time to time. And, it's a book just to take down and you read a few pages and yes, there's something really helpful help me on my way. One section that's helped me is Peter Gregg takes up the question of unanswered prayers in the Bible. And it was a new thought to me that actually he picks up that one of the prayers of Jesus has not been answered. That's a surprise, isn't it? Jesus prayed for the unity of all Christian believers. That is a prayer that has manifestly not been answered, at least not yet. Another helpful bit for me was a story about a missionary called J.O. Fraser, who I think he was in Japan, who was becoming more and more frustrated that his prayers were not being answered. And a breakthrough for him came when he realized that his priorities, which had all seemed so good, were in fact subtly wrong. And he wrote that unanswered prayers have taught me to seek God's will rather than my own. And so J.O. Fraser began to take time in his prayers to say to God, Lord, show me how I should pray about this situation. Show me what I should be praying for. That resonates with me because I know that in my own life, I have all too often assumed that I know God's will, when perhaps I would have done far better to ask him about it. Let's move on to a third recommendation. Different kinds of books I'm recommended. And this is a book that I'm reading at the present time because it's a book that I go on a clergy reading party at the beginning of each year. And this is the book we're going to read at the beginning of February next year and discuss it. It's a book called How Then Shall We Live? Written by Sam Wells, who's the vicar of St. Martin in the Fields up in Trafalgar Square. The subtitle is Christian Engagement with Contemporary Issues. And in this book, Sam writes about many of the practical problems and issues which face us as Christian believers today. The first section is on engaging the world, and there are chapters on Islam and Islamic extremism, migration, ecology, inequality, Europe, and social media. Then in the second part of the book, under the heading Being Human, there are further chapters on the family, disability, childhood, marriage, domestic violence, LGBT identity, and obesity, which leads to the final part of the book, which is about facing mortality, and that's got chapters on bereavement, chronic illness, shame, old age, dementia, terminal illness, and dying. Lots of subjects, and there are more of subjects that I haven't mentioned in just under 200 pages. So the chapters are typically 6 or 7 pages long, and each one gives a lot of thought, food for thought, about the subject matter. Sam Wells is a man who's obviously eager that, as I am, that Christians think carefully about the modern world in a way that is both realistic and biblical. After all, if our Christian faith isn't relevant to the world in which we live and to the issues in which we are now facing, then it's not worth very much, is it? Sam Wells doesn't believe that, and he shows ways in which we can both think and act Christianly in what the blurb on the back describes as our complex and fragile world. Of course, all who read the book will agree with some things more than others. I certainly do that. But for those who are interested in applying the Christian faith in daily life, Sam Wells has a lot of help and wisdom in under 200 pages. Just time to mention one more book. It's in some ways a rather similar book, but different, very different, called Living Faithfully by John Pritchard, who used to be the Bishop of Oxford. And like the book by Sam Wells, it's also concerned with following the Lord in our daily lives. But some of the chapters are on different themes, such as handling our money, handling our sexuality, working faithfully, going shopping, and living in an online world. Once again, the chapters are fairly short, and each one ends with words about how we could think more about each subject and how we might take things further in a practical way. So it's got a rather different feel to this other book. I think it's a slightly less demanding book than the one by Sam Wells. And as I said earlier, all the books of which I'm speaking are going to be on display after the service. You might like to have a look at these two together, and I think guess that one may appeal to you more than the other. I hope I've given you at least a few possibilities for Christmas presents, either for you to give to somebody else or to suggest as a gift from other people when they ask you what you want. And when you think of it, is there any better time than the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to buy a Christian book for somebody else or to ask somebody else to give a Christian book to you? Anything which helps us to love and serve the Lord with our minds as well as our heart and soul and strength is surely an appropriate Christmas present. And there is a huge need, I see this more and more, for more and more thinking Christians who think about their faith and apply it to the modern world. Please God, we may be amongst them. And just one more thing to say, which Bridget suggested to me after I sent my notes to her for this talk. And it's this, that the Christian life can be very challenging at times with prayers that are unanswered. You know, in a sermon, communication is two ways. I've been talking to you, but you've actually been talking to me a great deal this morning, more than you realize, and I know that I've been speaking about matters which touch on your lives. I don't know what they are, but your attention and interest indicates to me that actually a lot of this and a lot of what's in these books is very relevant to you. And indeed, the Christian life can be very challenging at times with prayers that are unanswered, contemporary issues that seem impossible, insoluble, and problems about being faithful to God in stressful situations. And so Bridget suggested, and I welcome this, that if you have particular needs or questions about such matters, do share them with one another. Raise them in your home group. Come and talk to Bridget, or to me, or to another person in this church, and it will be our privilege to talk and pray with you about them. You've listened so well. Thank you very much.